The Columbia Workshop presents High Boy by Eustace Wyatt, adapted from William Francis' short story, Too Far Gone.
What on earth is the matter with you, Peter? Even a four-year-old child would have enough sense to lead me a diamond after the way I signaled.
I'm sorry, Sarah. I thought I might make...
Thought. That's exactly what you did not do. I don't believe you have a thought in your head. I'm glad you aren't my husband. I don't see how you managed to put up with him, Martha.
Oh, we managed to muddle along pretty smoothly. Don't we, Peter, darling?
Well, neither of us has been arrested for assault and battery up to the time of writing.
Well, perhaps not. But nonetheless, if you belonged to me, I'd chain you to the bedpost every time I went out to play bridge.
Oh, now, come, Sarah. You mustn't take it so seriously. You know, I should like...
Let me answer it. I expect it's Tommy. He said he might call for me. Hello? Yes? Mrs. Barry's apartment? Oh, this is Mrs. Waite speaking. What? Again? But I can't come now.
Oh, I wonder if it's Aunt Etta.
No.
I hope not, darling. Although I didn't much like the way she was looking yesterday.
Well, I suppose if it's as bad as that, I'd better come over. All right, I'll leave here in a few minutes.
It is Aunt Etta, I know it. Is she very bad, Sarah?
Well, Mrs. Garrett says she's pretty far gone and wants to see me. So I suppose I'd better go. I do think it's a shame to have our party broken up like this.
Oh, Sarah, how can you say such a thing? Oh, you know Aunt Etta thinks the world of you. She's always talking about you.
And a lot of good it does me. What shall I ever get out of her? Any of the rest of you, for that matter.
Well, the poor thing hasn't anything to give us. We ought to do everything we can. I do hope she isn't as bad as Mrs. Garrett says. I think I'll go over with
her. No, I'd rather go alone. Too much excitement might be bad for her.
Funny you should say that after the way you've just been talking.
What's funny about it? Anyway, I don't want you to come. I've told you I'd rather go alone.
Yes, but I might be able to do something. Oh, I hate to think of her being uncomfortable and perhaps suffering.
Uncomfortable? Suffering? Oh, don't talk nonsense. You don't care about that any more than I do.
Why, Sarah, what do you mean? Why, I love dear old Aunt Etta.
Why, Sarah, what do you mean? I love dear old Aunt Etta. I love dear old Aunt Etta.
Now, listen, Sarah. I think we've had enough of this. Anyway, I don't want any more of it. You can abuse me as much as you like. I'm only your sister's husband. But you can't abuse your sister because she happens to be my wife.
Now, Peter, please.
Never mind the now, Peter, please stuff. If you're fool enough to take any of the toughing this termagant of a sister of yours is vicious enough to sling at you, well, I'm not cheap enough to let you, so that's that. And as for you, Sarah, the sooner you go, the better.
Don't I know it? Suppose I hadn't been here when the call came. That would have been nice, wouldn't it? You and that precious wife of yours would have been over there like a brace of ghouls. And you'd have had that high boy out of the living room before the breath had left our body.
Oh, Sarah!
Don't Sarah me. Do you think I don't know? Hypocritical, fawning schemers. I love dear old Aunt Etta. Well, you can love her as much as you want to, but I'm going over to see her while she still loves me. And don't think you can ever get that high boy. It belongs to me. It's mine. You hear? It's mine.
Oh, Peter. To think that my only sister should talk like that to me in my own house.
Now, never mind, darling. She was all upset because I didn't return her diamond lead in that last hand. She didn't mean it. She didn't mean it.
Oh, I don't suppose she did, but... Peter. Oh, Peter, I'd rather have dear old Aunt Etta than all the high boys in the world.
I wonder how many more times I'll have to climb these dreadful stairs. Oh, there you are, Mrs. Garrett. Mrs. Beecham must be pretty bad for you to be telephoning for me all over town like this.
Aye, indeed, ma'am, it's bad she is. I was going in with her milk, and she was just lying there gasping for breath. I runs to her and I says, "Hey, Mrs. Beauchamp, ma'am, are you very bad?" I says. And the poor dear can hardly speak above a whisper. And she says, "You'd better call my dear niece, Sarah Waite," she says. And I ran all the way to corner and called four places
before
I found you.
Yes, I can imagine the rest of it.
Oh, it ain't imagining. It's gospel, I'm telling you. And it cost me 20 cents of my own money. Not that I'm minding that, for there ain't anything I wouldn't do for the poor dear. After dying and leaving us, I'll never be getting another third floor like poor dear Mrs. Beauchamp. And I won't...
Oh, do be quiet. And don't use that ridiculous Beauchamp. Her name is Beecham. Even though she does say her husband was a Frenchman. Frenchman indeed. None of us ever saw him.
Pardon, ma'am, but she always likes me to call her Beauchamp. Will you be going right into her?
Yes, but you'd better not go downstairs again until I see if there's anything more you can do.
Right, ma'am. I'll be staying right back here.
Aunt Etta. Aunt Etta. Are you awake, Auntie, darling?
Oh, is it? Is it you, Sarah?
Yes, Auntie, it's Sarah. Your own dear Sarah.
Oh, my dear, I'm so glad you've come. Even the sound of your voice makes me feel better. But I don't think even you can do me much good now.
Oh, come, Aunt Etta, you mustn't talk like that. Why, you're going to be with us for years and years. Why, what do you think would become of us if you were to go away and leave us?
Always the same, dear, sweet Sarah, aren't you? Always so kind. To your poor old Aunt Etta, I couldn't bear to die if you weren't with me, darling. Think of it. Henriette Beauchamp, dying alone in a shabby second-rate boarding house. But you won't let that happen, will you?
Oh, of course not, Auntie. No. But you mustn't even think about such things.
No.
Now that I'm here, don't you think you'd better get some sleep? Try, won't you? I'll sit with Mrs. Garrett in the next room.
No, no. Stay with me, Sarah. Maybe a little sleep would do me good. But stay with me, please. Stay. Henriette Beauchamp. You ought to see my husband. He's so handsome. He's so...
Oh, Auntie, go to sleep.
Hey, ma'am, is poor dear any better?
She's gone to sleep, but she isn't any better and never will be. As a matter of fact, it wouldn't surprise me if she doesn't wake up.
Dear, do you think I'd better call doctor?
No, not just now. I'll go in and look at her again in a few minutes. Where does she keep her sewing things?
Over there on the table. Is there anything I can be doing for you, ma'am?
No, I don't want any sewing done. I want a tape measure.
You'll find it on top. She was using it herself only 2 days ago.
Oh, yes, here it is. I've got it. Now, take this end. I want you to help me measure the high boy. Hold it close to the floor. Let's see. 32 inches high. That's right. Length, 68 inches. Now across. 34. 68 by 34. Oh, that'll go beautifully on my north wall.
And is she after giving it to you, ma'am? She thinks the power of that old piece.
Oh, no, she hasn't given it to me yet, but it will be mine when she's gone. And I don't think that'll be very long now. Oh. Yeah, she's knocked her bell over. She did wake up after all. Here I am, Auntie dear. Were you trying to call me?
Yes, Sarah. I want to talk to you. Come close, my dear. I haven't much strength.
You think you ought to try to talk now, Aunt Etta? Wouldn't it be better if you just rested, even if you can't sleep?
No, my dear. There's going to be plenty of rest for me. Very soon. I don't think it'll be very long now.
Oh, Hush, Auntie, darling. Why, I've told you mustn't even think of such things. Why, you're going to be well again very soon. I know you are.
No, Sarah, my dear. Never anymore. I heard the doctor telling Mrs. Garrett I was pretty far gone. That's why I sent for you.
I'm so glad you did, even though I think the doctor is wrong. Now, is there anything special you want to say to me, Auntie?
Yes, my dear. There's a very great deal. You've always been so good to me. I feel that I can trust you.
Oh, of course you can. Why, I'd do anything for you, Aunt Etta.
Well, then, my dear, when I'm gone, I want you to be careful of the little I shall leave behind me. Oh. There isn't much. The annuity my dear husband bought for me dies with me.
Oh, Auntie, please, please don't.
Yes, my dear, I must. There'll be a little money from the insurance, and then there's my few little things around the living room. My Waterford glass bottles, and Sarah, my dear, don't spend too much on my funeral.
I
would have liked to lie beside my dear husband. But that's in France. It would cost too much.
Oh, Auntie, please.
No.
Please.
No. Let me finish, Sarah. We must save what little we can for those who need it. Then there's the high boy.
Yes, the high boy.
I've made a will. My friend, Charlie Bowles, the lawyer, has it. And I seem to do it. That you shall
Auntie. 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 Yes. I guess she's pretty far gone this time. Too far gone. Mrs. Garrett. Mrs. Garrett. Come here quickly. Mrs. Garrett, run right down to the corner and telephone for Dr. Drake.
Oh, mercy, what is it, ma'am? Is she?
Yes, yes, I think she is. Don't stand there snivelling. Run and call the doctor.
I'll run as fast as my legs will carry me. Oh, the poor dear soul. Oh.
Now, what did I do with that tape measure? Here it is. Yes. 68... by 34. Oh, it'll look lovely against the north wall, facing the windows. Oh, you beautiful thing. You belong to me. Aunt Etta made a will. She made a will. Now, let Martha try to take you from me. She was breathing heavily, but she wasn't suffering at all.
Were you with her right at the end, Sarah?
Yes, Peter, right to the end.
Oh, I'm so glad she wasn't all alone. Did she know you?
Oh, yes, Martha, she knew me. She was quite rational, but very weak.
Could she talk?
Yes. Yes, she talked quite a lot.
Oh, what about?
Well, for one thing, she told me she knew she was dying.
Oh, did she really say that?
Yes, she was quite calm about it. Didn't seem to mind it a bit.
Well, what else did she say?
She said she didn't want too much money spent on her funeral.
Poor dear old thing. Oh, how dreadful.
Dreadful? I don't see anything dreadful about it. She said she wanted to save what little money there was for those that needed.
Well, that's just what I mean. She was always thinking about others and what she could do for them, even to the point of denying herself a decent funeral.
Well, as far as I can see, there's no reason why we shouldn't give her that. But I think we ought not to be extravagant about it.
I agree with you there, Sarah. I don't think we should spend more than $150 for the casket.
$150?
Yes, I think that would be enough.
Yes, I should think it would be enough.
And we can get her a nice plot in Burnley for $40.
$40?
And I don't think we should need more than 6 cars.
6 cars?
How much do cars cost, Peter?
Well, it depends on the distance. I should think they would charge about $15 each to Burnley.
$15
each? Of course, we can each send our own flowers.
Flowers? Fiddlesticks. $150 for a casket, $40 for a plot in Burnley, $90 for 6 cars, $280 for a nice inexpensive funeral, and then you say we can each send our own flowers. Well, I tell you why I'm not going to send any.
Why, Sarah?
Oh, you needn't why, Sarah, me. $280 for a funeral, and then you talk about flowers. I think it's outrageous.
Now, Sarah, I think you're very harsh to talk like
harsh.
That.
Harsh?
Yes, harsh. Think of Aunt Etta's kindness to everybody she knew. She never begrudged anything to anybody.
And, well, I know it. There'd be more for us if she had. And we wouldn't have to sit here skimping on the cost of burying her.
Well, it's you who are doing the skimping.
As a matter of fact, it isn't skimping. I'm only trying to be practical. Almost with her last breath, Aunt Etta told me not to spend too much on her funeral, to save the money for those that need it. And we do need it, don't we? Well, then, let's carry out her last wish and save it. You call me harsh. The trouble with you, Peter, is that you haven't any head.
And you haven't any heart.
Heart or no, I...
If you please, ma'am.
Well, what is it now, Mrs. Garrett?
The woman from the undertaker's wants to know if you got the dress to put on to.
No, not yet. But if the woman has done everything else that's necessary, tell her she may go away.
Aye.
We'll attend to the dressing ourselves.
The poor dear looks so calm and peaceful.
That will do, Mrs. Garrett. Go and give the woman my message.
I will, ma'am. Full it's happy I am to be knowing that her own folk will be dressing her for the last time. The poor dear soul.
Nibbling old harpy. The only thing she cares about is losing a tenant for this dingy old third floor of hers. Well, what were you going to say, Peter?
I was wondering if I hadn't better take Martha down to see about a dress.
Certainly not. We'll use one of the dresses that she used to wear around the house. What's the use of spending money on a dress just to have it burned?
Have it burned?
Yes, burned. I've made all the arrangements. She's going to be cremated at Crestwood at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Cremated? But Auntie would be horrified at such a thing, Sarah.
Well, she won't know very much about it, will she?
Sarah, you're positively inhuman.
Well, maybe I am. But we can have her cremated for less than half the cost of burying her, and that's what we're going to do.
Very well, Sarah. Come, Martha, I think we'd better go.
Oh, no, don't go yet. Martha can help me look through Auntie's things and see what we can find to put on her.
Oh, Sarah, I couldn't. I just couldn't.
Oh, you couldn't. You just couldn't. And you're the one who's been doing all the talking about what we ought to do for poor dear Aunt Etta. Oh.
Very well, Sarah, I'll help you.
Well, come along, then. We might just as well get it over with.
Oh, Sarah, how long do you think you'll be?
About an hour, I suppose.
Well, then I'm going out. I'll be back in an hour.
And where are you going, might I ask?
I may just as well be frank with you. I'm going over to see Aunt Etta's lawyer, Mr. Bowles.
Go right ahead, and much good it may do you. Come along, Martha.
Come in. Oh, Mr. Berry, I didn't expect to see you until tomorrow.
Nor did I expect to see you, Mr. Bowles. I've come now because Martha and I are very much upset.
Quite natural under the circumstances, Mr. Berry. I'm quite upset myself.
I might as well come to the point at once, Mr. Bowles. It isn't only the fact of Aunt Etta's death that's worrying me.
Indeed?
You knew Aunt Etta very well, didn't you?
I have known Madame Beauchamp for nearly 50 years. Met her in Paris just after she became engaged to her husband. Latterly, I've only seen her once or twice a year, but I've always looked after any little business she wanted attended to.
Have you seen my sister-in-law, Sarah Waite, since yesterday?
I haven't seen her, Mr. Berry, but she telephoned me last night to tell me of your Aunt Etta's death.
Did she say anything about arrangements for the funeral?
She said that she would attend to everything that was necessary.
Did she by any chance tell you that she intended to have Aunt Etta's body cremated?
Cremated? No, Mr. Berry, she didn't. I assumed, of course, she was talking of ordinary burial. Your aunt was strongly opposed to cremation. You're surely aware of that.
I am, and so is Sarah. But that seems to make no difference. She says she's carrying out Aunt Etta's last wishes by saving as much as possible on her funeral.
Oh, dear. This really distresses me, Mr. Berry. I'll call on Mrs. Waite this evening and try to persuade her to change her mind.
That wouldn't do the slightest good, Mr. Bowles. Martha and I have already done everything we know. Is it possible to get an order of restraint?
Mrs. Waite is older than your wife, isn't she?
Yes, by 3 years.
Unfortunate. These two sisters are the only surviving heirs at law. In the event of conflict, the will of the senior would prevail.
Then there's nothing we can do?
I'm afraid not, Mr. Barry.
Well, then, I won't take up any more of your time.
Unfortunately, I shan't be able to go out to Crestwood in the morning, but perhaps I shall see you here with your sisters in the afternoon. They're coming for the reading of the will. I've asked Mrs. Garrett to come, too. I think we might meet there at 3 o'clock.
There. Why, she looks almost beautiful, doesn't she? I knew we'd find something if we looked through her things.
Poor auntie. And yet she does look happy, doesn't she? But, oh, Sarah, won't you change your mind before it's too late? Don't have her cremated. Now, please don't have her cremated.
Oh, be quiet, Martha. You ought to be ashamed of yourself making a scene in the presence of the dead. Don't you think we ought to have a little bit of something to relieve the blackness of this Tafford address?
Well, there are some odds and ends of things in that box at the bottom of the trunk.
Let's get them out.
Oh. Yes, here it is, Sarah.
Well, rubbishy-looking stuff, most of it. Still, we might find something. Oh, this is pretty. It isn't suitable, though. It ought to be white. What's that you've got there? Oh, that won't do either. It's too narrow.
Well, here's something, Sarah. A scarf. It's beautiful.
Yes, it's lovely. Much too good to burn, though. Put it over there on the chair. I'll use it on my new black velvet. Isn't there anything else?
No, there doesn't seem to be. Oh, here's a little bit of lace. Oh, what a pity. There's a tear in it.
Oh, give it to me. That's all right. Yes, we'll use this.
But it's torn, Sarah.
That doesn't make any difference. We can tuck the torn part inside the dress. There. That's it. You can't see the tear now. That's just the little touch we needed to relieve the black. Funny how a little thing like that brightens the whole effect. She looks nicer now than she ever did. Well, that's all, Martha. Let's go into the living room and wait for Peter.
Well, Sarah.
Oh, you're back, are you, Peter? Don't you want to go in and see Aunt Etta?
No, I'd rather not. If there isn't anything else for Martha to do, I'll take her home now.
All right, I shan't need her anymore. Did you see the lawyer?
Yes, I saw him.
Well?
I suppose we've got to let you have your own way.
What did I tell you? Yes, you'd better take Martha home now. If there's anything else to be done, I'll get Mrs. Garrett to help me. Don't be late for the service in the morning, though.
We'll be here at 9, but we will not go out to Crestwood.
Well, you can please yourselves about that. I'm going. Good night.
Good night.
Well, that's that. Now, let me see. I can use the cherry wood table beside my big chair. Mm-hmm, yes. What did I do with that tape measure? I'd better just measure that high boy again to make certain.
Is Mr. Bowles in? He's expecting us.
He'll be here in a few minutes. Mr. and Mrs. Barry, isn't it?
Yes.
Come right into his office, please. Mrs. Waite and Mrs. Garrett are there already.
Thank you.
This way, please.
After you, Martha, my dear.
Oh, it's you. Oh,
well, we aren't late, are we? It's only just 3.
No, I was early. I came straight down from Crestwood and brought Mrs. Garrett with me. Hope this lawyer isn't going to keep us waiting. I haven't had lunch yet. Well, why don't you say something? You look as if you were going to a funeral.
Oh, Sarah.
Aye, Mrs. Waite, ma'am. You do say such dreadful things.
I was almost forgetting. Why, I stopped at Fern's antique shop on the way down and asked how much it would cost to refinish the highboy. They're going over to see it in the morning and give me an estimate. You'll be there to let them in, won't you, Mrs. Garrett?
Yes, I'll be there.
And mind, you don't leave the room until the man's gone. There isn't much that's worth anything, but I'd hate to have any of those Waterford bottles stolen.
All right, I'll keep my eye on them.
You know, Martha, Mr. Fern has a highboy in his shop that he wants $300 for. Think of it, $300. And it isn't nearly as good as mine.
I'm sorry to be late. I'm glad you were able to come, Mrs. Garrett.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, do you want to see Mrs. Garrett alone, Mr. Bowles? If so, we can wait outside.
It's not at all necessary. The business in hand concerns everybody present. Oh, Miss Plunkett, Bring me the file of Madame Beauchamp.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Madame Beauchamp, indeed. Beecham's good enough for me.
Ignorance or indifference, Mrs. Waite?
Oh, here's the file, Mr. Bowles.
Thank you, Miss Plunkett. There's nothing for me to do, ladies, but to read to you the will of my old friend Henriette Beauchamp, your late Aunt Etta, and after having done so, to turn over certain documents mentioned therein. I will omit the stereotype legal phrases and read only the vital clauses as follows. As the small annuity purchased for me by my dear husband before his death has only been sufficient for my own simple needs, there will be no accumulated money at my disposal at the time of my death. I have, however, kept in force an insurance policy of $2,000 payable to my estate.
$2,000? Oh, I had no idea it was as much as that.
In many conversations I have had with my devoted niece, Sarah Waite, I have requested that my funeral shall be as simple as possible, with no extravagant ostentation or display.
There, what did I tell you?
Please, Mrs. Waite. Shall I continue?
Please do, Mr. Bowles.
Money spent in such a manner is of no value to those who might otherwise benefit from it. Therefore, I direct that the balance of the money remaining after my just debts and funeral expenses are discharged shall be given into the hands of Father Jardine for distribution at his discretion amongst the poor and needy of his parish.
Poor and needy
of his parish? Dear soul, never a selfish thought in her head.
To Catherine Garrett, who has attended faithfully to my needs for 30 years, I give and bequeath my Waterford glass bottles, together with the silver frame portrait of myself in hunting costume when I was a girl.
I never wanted nothing, the dear soul.
To my dear niece, Martha Berry, wife of Peter Berry, I give and bequeath all my furniture, furnishings, and personal belongings whatsoever, to retain or dispose of as she may deem fit and proper.
Oh.
Except that to my devoted niece, Sarah Waite, who has always been so good to me, and to whom I have entrusted all arrangements which may be necessary after my decease, I give and bequeath my most treasured possession. To wit, the small Brussels lace scarf, which will be found in a box at the bottom of my trunk.
Scarf?
And which formerly belonged to Queen Marie Antoinette of France. In the event that the said Sarah Waite should desire to dispose of the scarf, it is my wish that she give preference to the Carnavalet Museum, Paris, France, which seeks to purchase it for the sum of $3,000, despite the fact that it is slightly torn. In the name of God, amen.
Despite the fact that it is slightly torn, in the name of God, amen.
You've been listening to the Columbia Workshops production of High Boy, a dramatic sketch for radio by Eustace Wyatt, adapted from William Francis' short story, Too Far Gone. The production was under the direction of Earl McGill. Next Monday night, the Columbia Workshop will present a radio adaptation of Evelyn Waugh's celebrated novel, A Handful of Dust, adapted for the workshop by Elizabeth and James Hart. John Tillman speaking. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.